tell you, there is no greater story on earth than the story of God's enduring and everlasting love. And I pray that we would be bold enough to tell that story to everybody who has an ear. Right? If they can see, if they can hear, they need to know about the love and the power of Jesus Christ. And we're in 2 Peter. We've been going through 2 Peter for a while. This is the third week in 2 Peter chapter 2. Maybe we'll get through. 2 Peter chapter 2 has a lot to talk about false teachers. And it's telling us that there are false teachers that are here, what they're doing. It tells about their damnation. Not only are they going to go to hell, but they're sending a lot of other people to hell too that believe and follow their pernicious way. And we need to. The only way that we don't get sucked in by false teachers is by knowing the truth. Knowing the truth of Jesus, knowing the Word of God for yourself. You know, because if you know what the real one looks like, you can't get caught by a counterfeit. Right? And it doesn't matter how pretty their teeth are or how straight their tie is. Right? If somebody's not telling you the truth, if they're not preaching the gospel, if they're not telling you about Jesus, his death, burial, and resurrection, if they're preaching some other Jesus that is not in the Word of God, first thing to do is let them know that you know. All right? You let them know that you know. And then just walk away, because you cannot change a fellow like that. They're just what they are, and they can't. They really believe what they believe is real, even if what they believe is real is wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, but the only way you know what is really real is by knowing what truth is. And truth is a person, and that person is Christ Jesus. And his love and his compassion for the church and for the people of the world, I tell you, it is everlasting. And so as we're getting into the Word tonight, we left off in 18, that's where we'll pick up. Speaking of false teachers, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, these that are clean escape them who live in error. Now look at what he says right here in 18 here. It says, when they speak of great swelling words of vanity. Boy, have you ever heard those preachers? Wealth and prosperity. God just loves you. Don't worry about it. Go ahead and live like hell. God will never judge you. Jesus died for the sin of the world. That means all the sins covered. You don't have to ask repentance. You don't have to do anything. That's what a false teacher will tell you. Trust in your good works and you'll get to heaven. There are many roads that go to heaven. A false teacher will tell you those things. They're vanity, but don't they sound good? You know, don't they sound good that there is no judgment for humankind? That there is no judgment for the church? All you have to do is raise your hand, pray after me, and you just slid into home. Although that is not what the Bible says. But that does sound good. Right? If all I have to do is say a few words, and I'm locked in, I'm sealed, I'm in the hand of God, nothing can take me out, I can say those magic words, abracadabra, reach up and stab you, I'm saved. Right? And all of a sudden you're there. That means you can go and live a life full of lust and drink and debauchery and just enjoy yourself until you go home. You might be able to do that, but you might wake up in the wrong kind of home. You know, your home might be a little bit more torment than what you think. You might come before the Lord saying, Lord, Lord, have we not done this, done that, done the other? And Jesus say, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. Yes, sister.
I kind of understand why Satan did that, because it makes it sound like you're not going to go through bad times. It's all happy.
It's all unicorns and rainbows. It's like opening up a Lucky Charms box with the little floaty leprechaun things. And what are moons and stars and, oh my goodness, I can't remember a leprechaun commercial. But it's the leprechaun commercial, right? And it's all that candy puff. But real Christianity is deeper. Real Christianity will cost you. It's going to cost you a lot. The cross wasn't free for Christ. Salvation is free if you trust in what he did. But once you trust in what he did, you become his slave. And whatever he tells you to do, whatever the word guides you to do, that's what you must do. And if you do that, then I can guarantee you have a spot in heaven. If you don't do that, I have no promises for you. Not heavenly promises. There are promises on the other side. You will be cast out to where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. You can believe a lie with all your heart and still go to hell. You can believe something that isn't true that won't make it true just because you believe it. You must believe truth. You must believe what is right. And the only way that we can know what is right and what is true is not by swelling words of vanity, but by knowing the truth of God's word and applying that word in our life in a real and personal way. And to allure through the lust of the flesh, all right? Through much wantonness, those that were clean escape them who live in error. So the way that you're going to escape that is make sure you're clean. It says those who are clean. If you are clean, if you're washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, if you really know that the Savior of the world is the Savior of your soul, if you know that, then you won't be sucked in by these false teachers, by these folks who just preach this other Christ, the Christ that doesn't have any blood, a cross that's clean. The cross was not clean. That scene was not beautiful. There was beauty in it because of what Christ did, but the physical crucifixion was a brutal, horrible thing to do to another human being. And see, Jesus didn't have to chew it. He chose to do it. He said, no man takes my life. I freely give it. I lay it down. And if I lay it down, I can pick it back up. Guess what happened 3 days later after that cross? Up from the ground he arose. Amen? And so praise God for that. But a false teacher will tell you anything but that. And he says in verse 19, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought in bondage. So look at what he says right here. For while they promise you liberty, those false teachers, don't they promise you a chicken in every pot? Boy, you just name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. Boy, you can be free. You're free, free indeed. You just do what you want to. You said the prayer, you're clean. There ain't nothing you got to do besides that. They teach that, and a lot of people teach that. God wants you to be rich. Yeah, I mean, no, he doesn't. I am rich, but maybe not in this world. My riches are in heaven, all right? Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, yes, sister.
And also in the Bible, it said about the rich ruler in Matthew.
Yeah. And what did that rich ruler say? I'm going to quiz you.
What must I do to get eternal life?
Uh-huh. And?
And he said, about the Ten Commandments and have you obeyed them.
Uh-huh. And he said, I've done these ever since I was a youth. And Jesus said,
Then sell all your money and give it to the poor.
And
all that you have.
And follow.
And
amen. Right. Amen. And he couldn't do it. Man, praise God. I don't know where she's getting it, Grandpa, but she's getting it. She's got it good. Amen. See, she can't be fooled because she knows her Bible. Right? She knows her Bible. She's reading. She's studying. She's growing. Look at that. What a wonderful. That is. I am just giggling on the inside. I'm so happy that we. How old are you, sweetheart? 12, 13. 13 years old. My goodness. Praise God. That is, oh my. Yeah, I won't even let you know what I was doing when I was 13, but it was not quoting scripture. Amen. You know? But I tell you what. Woo! Man, I'm going to come over here and just sit next to you, just to get close to. That's good. That is good. Praise God. Not trying to blow you, swell up your head or anything. I'm just excited for you. Amen. And it says, they promise liberty. They themselves are servants of corruption. Those pastors, they say, oh, you can be free of this, you can be free of that, you can be free of the other. But in themselves, they're all tied down with multiple sin. You know, you can preach a good thing and still go to hell. Those folks who said, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied? That means preached in your name. They were preachers, they were teachers, they were deacons. And God said, Jesus said, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. And he cast them out with his weeping and gnashing of teeth. But these servants, they serve corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, the same is brought in bondage. So if you believe that, you believe those lies, you believe those prophets, you know, there's a whole bunch of them that was just before the election was over. They were all saying that God told me Trump is going to be president again. How many of them told folks like that? That's a false prophet. All right, they told, they said it, they swore it, they said God told them that. God didn't tell them that. You know why he did? I know God didn't tell him that because he ain't president. Right? If God would have told him that, then that would have been truth. Amen. God don't lie. But you can make up stuff. And so these people who believe that, they can easily be brought into corruption. That's why you never believe what a person tells you. Be a Berean. You bring your Bible. You read your Bible. You study it out. That way I can't lead you astray. And if I say something wrong, you have the Holy Spirit, and you got the right, the authority to come and say, Pastor, we need to talk about that a little bit better. Either you're wrong or I misunderstood it. You know, and hey, I can be wrong, believe it or not. Ain't I right, Kevin? I can be wrong. Mike, ain't I wrong? Amen. When? It happens, right? You can be wrong. And any person standing behind the pulpit that tells you that they're never wrong is wrong.
That's right.
I never make a mistake when I'm behind the pulpit. Oh, you lying dog. You know, that's a rascal right there. He ain't no good. And so, but you see, we all can be wrong. We can all can be misunderstood. You can read something, think that it's right, and still be wrong. Especially if you're shooting off the hip and you're not doing any study. You know, you can take one verse and pull it way out of context and make a whole religion out of it. Yeah. Speaking in tongues. You must be born again. You must speak in tongues before you're born again. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a very popular teaching. But that's not Bible. You know, did people speak in tongues? Amen. You know, they spoke in known tongues that they did not know. Now, there's tongues of angels and there's tongues of men. Absolutely. And if I really and truly have confidence, have faith in this, if I'm ever in a situation where I'm preaching and somebody needs to hear the word of God in their native language, either they will hear it in their, understand it in their native language, or God will give me the ability to speak it in their native language. But nowadays with Siri, you don't have to do that. You just say, Siri, what did he say? Right? And it translates it for you. Anyhow. I know that God is able to do those things, but those folks who tell you you must do that to be born again, you must be baptized to be born again, tell that to the thief on the cross. He wasn't baptized. In fact, Jesus baptized nobody. Do you know that? His disciples baptized folks, but Jesus himself, those people who teach you that you have to be baptized to be saved, that's not what the Bible says. Now, you need to be baptized because Jesus said, be baptized. It is an outward expression of something you already believed. So you're showing the world that you're being baptized. You're dying to your old self and coming up, buried in the oldness and raising in the newness. Right? So it's a picture, but it's not salvation. Salvation happened before baptism. If it didn't, then you just got wet. You know? And so you could have done that in the shower, in the tub, in your own house. It wouldn't have, because nothing really changed. And anyhow, but you can be brought into bondage by listening to false teachers. You can be overcome by listening and giving heed to false teachings. That's why it's so important that you know the word, that you listen to the word, and that you apply the word, God's word, to your life. Verse 20 says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter is worse with them than the beginning." Think about that. I think it's Hebrews 6. And then, yeah, 6:4. And it tells us in Hebrews 6:4, this is about those who tasted the goodness of God and walked away from it. Say amen when you get there. Hebrews 6:4, because I don't want you to think I'm making this up. Amen. It says, "For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened." Now, what does it mean for somebody to be enlightened? How do you get enlightened? If you were in the dark, how did you find the light? starts with J and ends in us.
Jesus.
Come on. Jesus. Amen. Salvation, right? All right. So those who are once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift, how can you taste the heavenly gift if you're not born again? You can't do it. You're not partaker of it, all right? But these folks have tasted it and have been enlightened and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. So if you're a partaker of the Holy Ghost, what are you? You're saved. I mean, that is the absolutely proves of salvation right there, all right? They've tasted, they were enlightened. They tasted the heavenly gift. They were partaker of the Holy Ghost. Verse 5, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to the open shame, unto an open shame. So those people who now these are folks who are born again, and the way I read it, it says that they lost their salvation. They trusted God and they turned away. I know people, Christians, all right, that have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, said it with their mouth, believed in their heart, led other people to the Lord. And then the problems of this world got in their way, and they turned away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And their heart became so hard that even when you talk to them about God, they got mad. They just got angry with you when you tried to explain the grace and the goodness of God or the opportunity for them to come back. What makes you think I'm not there? Well, because you're beating your wife, you're kicking your dog, and you're treating your kids like garbage. You're drinking every night, and you're running around with all kinds of things. All right? So there's some proof there that says that you have turned away. You denied the power and the glory of God. And when I tell you about God, you don't want to hear it anymore. That tells me some stuff about you. That tells me that you tasted it, you are part of it, and you walked away from it. And to renew them again? God says that's impossible. People, we need to stay in the Word, abiding in Christ. Another scripture that came to mind was Ezekiel chapter 18. It says, verse 24, but when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doeth according all to the abominations that a wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. Did you hear what the prophet said through the power of God? Let's read that again. Verse 24 of chapter 18 of Ezekiel. But when the righteous turns away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? Good question, right? Now, can somebody who has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, lived in righteousness, and still committing the sin, the iniquity, the abominations before God, all right, can he live eternally with God? That's the question that's laid before. That's what the prophet asked. And all his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and all in his sin he hath sinned, in them shall he die. Verse 25. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? When the righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done shall he die. All right? Now look at, there's an important thing that he says right here. The righteous man that turns away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and dieth in them. So if you're willfully walking away from God and you die, you have no security in your salvation. If you purposely turn away from God and you do things that are anti-Christ, anti-Bible, after you've understood the Word of God, the love of God, experienced the grace of God, experienced the power of God, and you reject it. See, you still have a free will. Are you born again? I am not doubting that you are born again. But if you reject Jesus Christ and you say, I don't want you, He will let you have your free will. No man can take you out of his hand. No angel can take you out of his hand. Amen to that. Absolutely true. There's no demon in hell that can take me out of the love of God. Absolutely true. But if I turn my heart, my life away from God, he will respect you in your decision. But be careful there. I can't promise you your next breath. Can't promise it to you. And so anyhow, in verse 26, and when the righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he has done shall he die. Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness and that he hath committed and done which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. Amen? If you're doing things wicked right now and you know they're wicked, turn away from it and come back to Christ while you still have breath. While you still have breath, because there's coming a day that you're not going to have breath. We will wake up one morning dead. How do you wake up dead? Well, what happens is when you breathe your last breath here and you close your eyes, you're going to wake up in eternity. And either you're going to wake up alive in Christ, or you're going to wake up in condemnation and death. But eternity is going to happen, whether you're in Christ or you're out of Christ. So my prayer for you is that you stay abiding in the vine. Because that's where our safety is, staying in the Word of God, staying by Jesus Christ, applying His Word every day, not listening to preachers, but preaching through the Holy Spirit. I say that to you and I preach it, right? Test what I'm saying. Alright, test what I'm saying, because I'm of that belief group, alright, that was taught a long time ago. Say the prayer after me, and no matter what you do, you're saved. You cannot lose it, you cannot walk away from it. There, you say the prayer, and it doesn't matter if you go down to the kindergarten down here with a hatchet and chop up kids, because you're born again, it does not matter. That's a very dangerous teaching. That's a teaching that will send you to hell. That'll teach you, that's a teaching that will give you a false security to think that you're going to heaven, and you're not. If you go to Galatians chapter 5 and 6, and it goes through the works of the flesh, and it says, anyone practicing these things has no inheritance in the kingdom of God. Anyone practicing those things. I'm not saying you stumbled, because guess what? I sinned today. All right? The problem is not sin. It's not tripping in sin. It's not falling in sin. It's what you do after that. So when my pride struck up today and I got all uppity in myself, once I realized what I was doing, you know what I had to do? Repent, you thinner, and thin no more. Amen? You had to come before God with an honesty, with a brokenness, and say, God, man, why am I so nasty, right? God, I need forgiveness. And it tells us in John that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin, right, as we confess our sin. But you got to be real about that. It can't just be lip service. I mean, David was a man after God's own heart, but he was an adulteress and a murderer. Right? And that's just the beginning. He couldn't build the temple of God because there was so much blood on his hands. But he was still called a man after God's own heart. You know why? He knew how to pray. He knew how to come before the Lord God. He knew how to pour out his iniquity before God and plead the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And guess what? God was faithful. Amen? God's faithful to you. And so those false teachers that we were talking about back in 2 Peter chapter 2, they will tell you a lot of stuff, but they won't tell you that. They'll fill your head and your life with a lot of teachings, but they won't tell you the hard thing. That the Word of God says, be holy because He is holy. And that holiness is something that has not been taught in the church for a long time. Jesus is my friend. Right? And amen. Well, actually, what Jesus says, you are my friend if you do whatsoever I command you. So if you don't do what Jesus commands, you may think you're his friend, but you don't think you're his friend. Right? Jesus said, you're my friend if you do what I tell you to. If you follow my commandments, then you're my friend. If you don't follow my commandments, guess what? You ain't my friend. Amen. You know, it's so what must we do? Follow his commandments. Be holy. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And then love your neighbor like you love yourself, or as you love yourself. Those things, if you do that, you complete the whole law. But understanding that is an extremely hard thing to do. You can't love God without the Holy Spirit guiding you into that love. And you sure can't love your neighbor without the Holy Spirit indwelling you, offering forgiveness offering your forgiveness in their sin, accepting them, even if they are homosexuals or drunks, loving them because you were just like them before you got saved. Can I get an amen for that? I mean, or is everybody born here perfect? You know? You don't stand in a glass house and throw rocks. Right? Those people, God loves them. They're made in the likeness and image of God. So what are we supposed to do? Well, we're supposed to love them too, because they're made in the likeness and image of God. A lot of people don't teach that. So anyhow. All right, and verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that is salvation, okay? Just if you don't know, you escape the pollutions of the world only through surrendering to Jesus Christ. In and of yourself, I don't care how moral you are, you cannot escape the pollutions of the world on your own. You must be born again. All right, so if you escape the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, oh, praise God for that, the knowledge of God. Jesus said in John 17:3, I repeat this a lot, this is eternal life. And this is why I teach it. Because when Jesus says, this is eternal life, don't your ears perk up? This is eternal life. What is it? To know the Lord and the Son whom he has sent. That's what eternal life is to know God. And here he says, through the knowledge of the Lord, that's eternal life. When you know who God is, that is salvation. When you understand the holiness of God and the wretchedness of man and accept the propitiation, the covering of his righteousness over your unrighteousness, praise God. What liberty you have. Doesn't that, it sets me free. You know that God loves me in the midst of my goo. Right? He loves me in the midst of my stuff, and all he wants me to do is be honest, to be upfront, to confess my sin, to love my fellow human beings the way that he loves me, or the way that I love myself. I wish I could love others the way that God loves me, but I can't. Yeah. I just can't. I can try. I can be kind to you, but I don't know if I could die for you. And even if I did, I don't know if it would do any good. Right? See, if they hung me on a cross, you would still go to hell. Okay? Because I'm not perfect. Right? My blood cannot save. But his can. His payment can save, because he was perfect. He is perfect. Right? Everybody says he was perfect. You know? He still is. Right? He still is. It's not he was. That didn't stop, you know, just because of the cross and the resurrection. The resurrection just proved that he was and is and always will be perfect in love and compassion. And it says they are entangled therein and overcome, and the latter is worse with them than in the beginning. Jesus talked about a man who gets his heart clean. He gets clean, and demons are cast out of him, and he cleans himself up. He trusts the Lord, and he starts walking around. And those demons that were in him go around into desert places, dry places, and they say, man, I need a home. So they go back to find out where they were, and they find out that it's all clean and swept and well kept. But one thing that it wasn't filled with God. It wasn't filled with Christ. And so they said, wow, a vacant apartment. I'm going to go get some of my college buddies, and we're going to go, and we're going to, and the end of him was seven times worse than it was when the demon was cast out. Same thing that he's talking about here. The latter end is worse than it was in the beginning. So when you go back, oh man, praise God for this. A life story, all right? I used to smoke 5 packs of cigarettes a day. It was the hardest thing to put them away. I drank 4 or 5 boxes. Stop it. Anyhow, I used to smoke, right? And I was a pack-a-day smoker. Man, I said, oh, yeah, smoke that cigarette. Tell St. Peter at the Golden Gate that I'll just have to wait because I got to have another cigarette. So I was smoking that way. And then one day I quit. And I was quit for like 6 months, 8 months, something like that. I didn't even have the urges. I mean, I was done. I was done with it. Went fishing with my buddy, right? We were out in Alabama, Lake Eufaula, and we were fishing, and the gnats were eating me alive. They were all in my ears, up my nose. They were landing on me all over the place. He's smoking a cigarette, and it wasn't bothering him a bit, and, you know, because they won't come around and smoke. So I said, oh, dude, I need some relief. Give me one of those smokes. And I smoked one cigarette, right? And then I smoked another cigarette. And just as soon as I smoked that cigarette, when we got out on dry land, I went and bought a carton of cigarettes. And I went from a 1-pack to a 2-pack a day habit. And I smoked like a chimney. Until I coughed up one of my lungs. And I cut my smoking in half. No. Until the Lord saved me. And brought me out of that again, you know. And so when I went back to the way that I had been saved from, and I ain't saying smoking cigarettes will send you to hell, but I'm saying smoking cigarettes will send you to your grave, right? But anyhow, I'm not suggesting that you smoke or that you dip. It's not good for you. Don't do it. Anyhow, just in case anyone here thinks I'm advocating cigarette smoking, I'm not. But I don't think it's something that will send you to hell. All right, it's not rejecting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Anyway, I had quit. I started back just for a good reason, right? And when I got back, it was twice as bad as it was when I quit the first time. The habit was worse. And so that's what he said, that the latter end is worse than it was in the beginning. Verse 21, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness then after they had known it, to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. But this has happened unto them, according to a true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit, and the sow that has washed to her wallow in the mire. So again, you see here what happens. I don't know if y'all have ever noticed it, but when a dog vomits, he goes right back to it. Mm-hmm. That's not it. I mean, and then they want to lick you in the face. What is that? And people let them do it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I just can't do that. You know. Anyhow, but the human nature of things, if we don't stay connected to Jesus Christ, if we don't stay in the Word of God, if we don't try to live holy and righteous and separated lives, we'll be like that dog. We will go back to our old nature. We will go back to the way that we were because your flesh is very comfortable there. We have to fight. We got to fight our flesh. We got to fight our own lusts, our own desires, hourly, daily, moment by moment. And not quit when you fail. You know, when you do get overtaken in a sin or you do stumble in your Christian walk, don't fall away from Christ. Fall into Him. Right? You fall into Christ. And He finds you where you're at. And He loves you right there. Chapter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both which to stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And for this, they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflown with water perished. All right, so we'll get into the rest of that in a minute. But this first start, this coming back, the reason that he tells this church again is to stir up. You know, the reason that I always preach the same message, and I don't know if y'all noticed it, right, darling? You've been with me for 10 years preaching this. I'm a one-trick pony. I preach Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and I preach holiness for the body of Christ. I do this every week, 2-3 times a week. Okay? And every chance I get, this is what I tell people over and over and over and over again. And I will do it until I die. Why? Because there's nothing else to talk about. Right? There's nothing else that's going to make a difference in your life except those things. And Peter is saying here, I'm telling you this again to stir it up in your minds, to keep it fresh. You know, you need to keep these teachings, this thought fresh in your mind because it's real, it's personable, and in it is eternal life. In these words are eternal life. In the Word of God, in the relationship with Jesus, that is life and life everlasting. And he says he does this, that verse 2, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us. So all of these things that Peter is teaching were also taught in what we call the Old Testament. Moses taught these things. Jeremiah taught these things. Elijah taught these things. Jesus taught these things. Nothing has changed. This whole book right here, this whole Bible from cover to cover, is about God's great love for humankind and his desire for us to have a relationship with him. And the thing that stops a good relationship with the Father, with humankind, is sin. And he says, do your best to walk in righteousness, that when I call on you, I can use you. That when I need to speak with you, that there's nothing between us. Keep that in your mind. Be holy because he's holy. Be separate because he is separate. He's that narrow way. And he says, in the last days, there'll be scoffers walking after their own lust in the church. Now remember, he's not talking about the world because the world didn't need to wait for last days. They were scoffers from the very beginning, right? Cain was a scoffer when he killed Abel, right? I mean, it was because Abel's sacrifice was better accepted and Cain's wasn't, so he killed his brother. He scoffed at his brother. He had war with his brother. He picked on him. He didn't like him because my brother's always got a better sacrifice than me. And so he's scoffing at him, right? And so even now in these times, when you talk about somebody, talk to somebody about the times and the season that we're living in, the most repeated answer that I get from people is that it's been that way forever. Haven't they been saying that Jesus was coming back, you know, for forever? I mean, ever since, you know, they always say that. Oh, Jesus, my grandma told me that Jesus was coming back. They told me in World War II that Jesus was coming back. They told me way back in the 1800s, Jesus was coming back. In fact, there are some JWs waiting on a hill, you know, and Jesus is coming back. Sell everything you got. And so, hadn't it been going this way forever? Well, the Bible says that they're willfully ignorant. There's some things about Jesus coming back in this generation, in this time, that has never been able to be done before. Right? Up until this time, we were never able to number all humankind and keep a track of it. Mm-hmm. Sounds crazy, and I am. All right, but this 5G thing, this vaccination thing, all of this stuff, all of the Siri in your house, all right, all that, your smartphone that makes dumb people, all that stuff is laying the foundation work of the mark of the beast. Okay, I'm not saying that the vaccine is the mark, but I am saying that it's doing something on the interior of people that is super hidden, except for the ones who have their eyes open, except the ones that are looking at it for what it really is. The people who say that you must be masked. Not one mask, but two. Not two, but three. Get your vaccination, you still got to be masked. Get your second vaccination, you still got to be masked. And stay 6 feet apart. You can't go into a restaurant, you got to wear your mask till you sit down. So if you're a tall person and you sit down, you're still in danger. But if you're a short person, when you walk in, you ought to be okay. Right, I just flew under the bug. Go ahead, sis, what you got?
One of my teachers said, the teacher said she's religious.
Yeah.
And she knows about, and they said that she knows about Christ, and yet she got her two vaccines, and she's wearing her mask and social distancing still.
Well, you know what James says? Even the demons say that there's one God, you do well. Even the demons believe that there is one God, and they fear and tremble at the name of God. The demons do. How many Christians fear and tremble at the name of Jesus Christ? Not nearly enough. I do. You know, what makes me desire to walk holy and to be set apart for His calling, for His glory? Because He has the power not just to take my life, but to take my life and cast my soul into hell. He has that authority. He can do it. You can do it. Yes, He can. You know? So I need to make sure that my life is squared away with the Word of God. I need to make sure that my walk is squared away with the walk that is in the Word of God. I need to trust Him enough to follow Him. I want to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." You know, I don't want to hear the other one, "Away with me, you wicked servant. Cast out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth." That's about the talents that God gave to three different guys. Two of them invested them. They got a return. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of my Lord," or your Lord. And then the other one who took his talent and he hid it under a rock, he said, you wicked servant. What are you, you took what I gave you? And instead of at least turning it into the bankers for some little interest, and if you got your money in the bank, it is little interest, all right? That would have been enough. But he didn't even do that. He just hid it. He hid what God gave him. And God, when he came to give an account or take an account of what was given to him, he said, "You are wicked," and he cast him out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. All three of those were servants. All of them were servants. Two were accepted, one was not. But he was still a servant. So knowing those things, that there will be scoffers walking after their own lust. You think about that. The ones who walk their way and not God's way, they're walking after their own lust. Well, I'm a religious person. I'm very spiritual. I love it when people tell me that. I'm spiritual. Well, hold on to your Ouija board. It's going to be hot where you're going. You know, as a spiritual, ooh, stay, don't pray for me, you spirit-filled person. I need folks that are holy, all right? And he says that they walk after their own lust. Religious people walk after their own lust. They say, "Well, I can't be in the image of God, so I need the God to be in the image of me. I want God to be like I am. I want God to be foul and a sin." Yes, sister.
If you did want him to be like you, he would have lots of sin.
Yeah. And I don't need a sinner God. I need a perfect God. One that's able to pay for my sin. And so, knowing this verse, that there had come in the last day, walking after him on the list, and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." And it says after that, "For this they willfully are ignorant." They're willfully ignorant. Because it's not that the truth isn't here to be found. It's this, what's that old song? "There is none so blind as he who will not see. You must not close your mind.
You must let your thoughts be free. Everything is beautiful. Everything is beautiful in its own way. Anyhow, it was a 60s song. Anyhow, love, flower power, you know, that kind of thing. And so, but there's none so blind as those who will not see. It's not that the light's not there. It's not that the truth isn't there. They choose to walk in their own lust and not after the righteousness of God. It's a willful choice that they have made not to follow the living word. It's a willful choice to trust science over God. It's a willful trust, a willfulness to trust the government over the government of God. All right, over God himself. I trust Cuomo, so let's send all the sick people to the old folks' homes. Wow, that was a great idea. You're not. Amen. I said that facetiously. But that's okay. Lord willing, he'll get sent to one. Stop it. I can't. See, that's my flesh. I need to repent from that. And so, where's the promise of the coming? Because nothing has changed. They are willfully ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were made of old, the earth standing out of the water and in the water, right? In the beginning, the Spirit of God moved over the deep, right? The darkness of the deep. And God spoke and then things happened, right? So that's where Peter is coming back to. It's back to Genesis. Anyhow, I'm not going to go there. In my mind, do you know that the fowls were made out of the water? When you go through Genesis right there, it says, and the fowls, the fish and the fowls were made out of water. So all the birds, it's an interesting thing. It's back in Genesis. It's 8 o'clock or we could go there. Go home and check that out. Because we think they're made out of dust. But the Bible says he made it out of water. You know? And so, for they're willfully ignorant. And verse 6, whereby the world that was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment, and the perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day, as one day. And the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen? God's wanting everybody to come to repentance. He wants us all to come. Right, and he's outside of when it says a day is 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years to the Lord. He's out. That's saying that he isn't like us. He isn't confined by time. Mm-hmm. He's outside of what we call time. He's in a different dimension. And the Truth Project had a great analogy. If you're in the box, right? Everything in the box. We understand everything from the box. But he's outside of the box. He doesn't see the things that we see. He sees the beginning of the train and the end of the train all in one view. Right? He doesn't have to turn his head, and he's close enough to it that he can see everything in every boxcar and every level. And so God isn't slack concerning his promise. He knows what's going to happen. He knows when it's going to happen. And so he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So you're wondering why Jesus doesn't come now? He wants other folks to get saved. There is a time he's coming. And when he comes, it's going to be exactly on time. He will not be 1 minute early. He won't be 1 second late. When it's time for him to come, he will come. And until then, people are going to be saved. Right? He wants people to be saved. And so all that's going to happen, and he's not willing that any should perish. That's why he gives us so much time, our time in our eyes. But to him is, I guess, in God's eyes, he's already done it, you know, because he's outside of our time space. Anyhow, I love you guys. It's after 8 o'clock. And so praise God. Thanks for coming. And we'll get into the other study. And check me on that Genesis thing. I'm pretty sure I'm right.
That is.
Huh?
It does say water.
Yeah, it does say water. Yep. A fowl came out of water.
That's all in the time.